Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Beasley switching it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Going to try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody, on the heels of the Killer Bees. And behind the glass, as always, the one and only Brian McDonald, as we continue on here tonight on ESPN 97.5 in Houston. Show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Welcome in. We have a very good show in store tonight. First off, I just want to say, since I did not have a show yesterday, a big thank you to all the veterans out there and any of you listening to this show and for everything you've done for us. Sacrifice, boot camp, going into an area that many men like myself question in life what it would like to be in the military and actually have to go to war and go to battle. I've often considered that, you know, based on the knowledge that when I grew up, my father and a lot of the people in my neighborhood all had, my buddies all had fathers that were in different branches of the service. So yesterday was a good day to kind of put yourself in the shoes of others who in the past have gone to war, because they've allowed people like Glenn Davis to sit and talk about soccer and play soccer and make soccer a lifetime sort of love. So anyway, veterans out there, big shout out to you. Messi's out. Local success in NCAA soccer. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in the state of Texas. Today is the anniversary of the Dynamo Championship in 2006. How about that? That was a long time ago. Some of those players are now in their mid to maybe even late 40s. It's crazy how time flies, right?
Now they're bar owners. Brian Ching.
Well, one's a bar owner. And there's a lot of them doing a lot of good things, that's for sure. A lot of them stayed in soccer, too. Eddie Robinson had an 11-year career in broadcasting. Richard Mulrooney, who I spoke to today, is the coach of Memphis in the college game. Dominic Kinnear was with Cincinnati as an assistant. They got knocked out also. So we'll talk a little bit more about Major League Soccer, but those were good times. I want to just start off tonight with, you know, I love this. Messi, Inter Miami, we're flying high. Favorites to win the MLS Cup. What happened? All right? Here's a synopsis of what happened. Just listen to this, and this will tell you what happened.
An animated Tata Martino motions to the officials. In the meantime, here comes Messi again into the 18. Messi saved by Gazan! And he covers.
What a save.
Plays it in. Suarez save made by Gazan! Here's Messi. Messi trapped by Mouyen Ba. Able to shake him off. Messi's service. Header saved by Gazan! Another big stop by Brad Gazan. How did it stay out?
Wow.
They play the corner short and then work it back. Lionel Messi able to swing this ball far post. There's Gazan again to deny at the far post.
Need I say anything else? He had one of the greatest goalkeeping performances in the history of Major League Soccer by Brad Gazan at 40 years of age. So you can do all the breaking down you want. We already knew that. In transition defensively, this was not a very good team. Two center backs were all over the place. A lot of times have to defend with more numbers coming at them. Honestly, Atlanta United could have had four or five goals, and so could have Inter Miami. Brad Guzan himself, I think, robbed Messi probably a solid 4 or 5 times over the course of 3 games. So that's potentially another 4 or 5 goals. He robbed Suarez. He robbed others. He was in the zone. The ball must have looked like a beach ball to Brad Guzan. What many of you don't know, if you're new to Major League Soccer, I'm going to enlighten you right now, so listen carefully. There was a team called Chivas USA way back that came into MLS. Chivas USA was coming into MLS as a project and a second team for Chivas in Mexico, the legendary club. What they tried to do was, for the most part, bring their reserve team here to play in MLS. Thomas Rangan was the coach. Thomas actually called me up and said, "Do you think I should take the job?" I said, "Yeah." I mean, this was without the knowledge that they were going to try to bring a second team. I just said, "This seems incredibly exciting. You're working with Chivas. What an opportunity." Anyway, young Brad Guzan was the goalkeeper on that team. He was like a human pinata in those days. They were getting hammered. He was getting pummeled. And you just had to say to yourself, is this kid going to survive this mentally? And he did, to go on to play for the U.S. national team, to go on and have a Premier League career, and now to pull off his playing goal as one of the greatest goalkeeping efforts ever in the history of the playoffs. So you can break it down all you want, but good goalkeeping can be the difference. Either end of the field can win you games. And you can go to a whole bunch of different things, but Brad Guzan was just remarkable. And that's not downplaying what everybody did in front of him, the work ethic. I mean, Dax McCarty, here's another great story. I love the fact that McCarty and Brad Guzan were a part of knocking Team Messi and Inter Miami out of the playoffs. So there you have it. That's pretty incredible. There's a lot of people not happy about Messi and company being out of... Listen, no matter what anybody says, there's going to be less eyeballs on it. You just lost your main draw. I think there's still going to be great games. They now go into single elimination after playing, you know, this best of three. So there you go. That's that. All right. Let's go to the maybe just quickly go through the goals in this one. Let's start it off with. It's a shocking opening goal, and it's Atlanta, and it's Tria who will get the goal here right away.
Brings different things. Here comes Tiare looking to level, and he does! A razor off the foot of Jamal Tiare! How about that for a response? The five stripes right back in business. We're level at one.
How about a second from Tria?
Slish for McCarty. Quick release has Maranchuk. Alexei Maranchuk able to play it across, and the shot. They got it again. It's Tiare with a brace in the first half.
So that's in response to this, because Inter Miami came out with the 1-0 lead with the goal from Reyes, and this happened pretty early.
Messi ahead. Diego Gomez to get on this at the edge of the 18. Gomez for Miami picks up the trailer. That's Messi. Save made by Guzan. Follow up try. Go! Inter Miami with a 1-0 lead.
So at this point now, we're 2-1. Inter Miami scored first. You got the 2 from Tria. And then Lionel Messi will tie it up. Now, this is a header off a cross. And Messi does, and I hope you can go back and see the highlight. He just does a subtle thing. He just backpedals like 3 yards to pull off a defender, put himself between two. These are the little subtle things with movement and the telepathy this guy has when it comes to spatial awareness. And then he, by the way, heads home. It's 2-2 now.
Inter Miami looks for the equalizer. Suarez picks up Weigand, able to work it across. Tie game! Lionel Messi!
And then the game winner comes in a kind of bizarre fashion, because what happens is a player is down, and Inter Miami seems to kind of lose a little bit of focus here, thinking somebody should kick the ball out. And, of course, in this day and age with people diving, don't kick a ball out unless you know it's somebody in really severe health situation, you don't kick the ball out these days because there's too many people acting and taking dives. So Inter Miami, you know, just drops its guard here, and this is what happens, and this is how they lose the game.
Over the head where it's taken here by Atlanta again. Amador works this ball in, and the shot is in. Bartosz Ślisz and Atlanta have stunned Chase Stadium again. They regain the lead in the 76th minute.
So that's how it would end. 3-2. Team Messi's out. Full house. All the celebrities were out. And I'm sure a few people had to be walked off the ledge today. We talked about that earlier. So Jason Longshore, who was on the show earlier in the week when we were talking about this, I think we both really felt that this, with Guzan playing the way he was playing, that this was not going to be an easy third game. And, you know, so many people, Miami's going to turn it on now. They turn it on and off when they want. Nah, not so much. World Cup moment brought to you now by Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Nico Nico's also wants to remind you that we are hosting the World Cup in 2026 right here in Houston, Texas. I said it. The World Cup is coming to our city. It's hard to believe. I still pinch myself. Brazil hosted the 2014 World Cup. They entered the tournament as 3-1 favorites. This is a look back. 2014 in Brazil. Many of you will remember this. Along with Germany, both Brazil and Germany came into the semifinal with undefeated records. So no one could have predicted the incredible thrashing the Germans were going to put on Brazil. Now, by the way, this is after the Germans thrashed Diego Maradona and Argentina. Maradona was coaching Argentina, if you remember, in the early stages. He was cheerleading. He was everywhere. And then Germany just, when tactics had to come into play and Maradona had to put out a tactical plan. He really didn't have one. He was more of a motivator. And Germany thrashed them. Germany would thrash, and get this, Brian, you will even understand, and you will be, not that you wouldn't understand, but you will understand that a World Cup in Brazil, as Brazil hosting, as the country it is, having won more World Cups than any country in the history of it, they're there thinking in the semis, this is it. Let's start the samba. The country is going to win another World Cup. The Germans come out and beat Brazil 7-1 in Brazil.
I think we did a segment on like the biggest, like most surprising lopsided wins in history. I'm pretty sure that was on the list.
It would have to be.
I'm 90% sure I saw a Germany World Cup score of like 7-1 or 7-0. So that makes sense.
Yeah, and it was in Brazil.
That's crazy. Okay,
in the semifinals, it came from the Germans. I mean, this was a game there should have been a mercy rule, like Little League. Somebody pretended, you know, everything that's hits going in, they're totally outplaying them. The Brazilians are stunned. Fans are crying. I remember the images on the camera with people crying. I mean, the tears that were flowing were unbelievable from Brazilian fans. So anyway, that's our remarkable World Cup moment here, brought to you by Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. By the way, Thanksgiving feast. Get your turkey with the sides and desserts from Nico Nico's. Greek salad, cheese, spinach pies, hummus, chestnut, stuffing, turkey gyro by the pound. Can take the pressure off when it comes to the sides. So there's a bit of Aussie to take you to break. I also wanted to quickly remind you that shout out to Stephen F. Austin. They won the Southland Conference. So play TCU next in the NCAA tournament. That's the women's team. Congratulations to them up there in Nacogdoches. Houston Christian University, tomorrow will play at 3 o'clock. They take on Lindenwood in the semifinals of the Ohio Valley Conference. So there's Houston Christian. That's the men's side. And Texas, who I covered for 11 years on Longhorn Network, I love doing those games, they won the SEC title, and they're going to take on Boston University in the NCAA playoffs. So there's a quick one for you. LamontBrands.com for the Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats. A lot going on. Coming up next is Houston Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad. And we will bring him on live here, and we'll talk everything Dynamo with Pat Onstad.
Your love for me is just to be real. Before you know the way I'm going to feel.
ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We roll on here tonight. This is Black Keys. My producer, Brian McDonald, absolutely loves the Black Keys. If he could use every break music with the Black Keys, he'd be happy. I wouldn't be adverse to that. Neither would Cactus Music. Go see our great friends at Cactus Music. I think we have Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad. He's ready to go. We appreciate him calling in live here. So let's get right to Pat. Pat, thanks for coming on the show. Welcome in.
Hey, Glenn. How are you doing?
Doing great. Hope you are, too. Just talked to one of your former teammates today, Richard Mulrooney, who's with Memphis
in
the conference semifinal today, or tomorrow he'll be playing in the semifinal, so against Florida International University. So, great guy.
Great guy. Doing a great job there at Memphis, too.
Yeah. Heck of a player. All right. We're going to get right to it, Pat, and I know you've been busy. I think you may have even been traveling already, looking for players and busy all the time. Let's just start with Hector Herrera. How difficult was this whole situation?
It wasn't easy. I think we brought Hector in here to change the culture of our club, to bring in a player of, top European pedigree and someone we thought could help our team move forward and become competitive again. And he did exactly that. You know, we've made the playoffs the last 2 years, just two full seasons with us, and he won a U.S. Open Cup for us in 2023. So, I think what we'd hoped for, he exceeded. You know, having said that, I think for us this year, the biggest thing was trying to make sure we could keep him on the field. And unfortunately, you know, that became pretty difficult and pretty evident as we moved along the season that it was going to be difficult for him to maintain his ability to be on the field on a regular basis.
Now, I may not be right on this, but my understanding was his injury was not a serious knee injury. So why did it take him so long to get surgery? Because that seemed to kind of set everything back.
Yeah, I did. I think, it was difficult at the end of the year. We had a great year in 23, and I think there was maybe a moment in time where we could have taken care of it a little bit sooner than we did. But for various reasons, we didn't take care of it until he came back and began his season. You know, part of that, I think, was he thought he could get through it and grind through without taking care of it and that he'd be fine in 24. And unfortunately, pretty quickly into preseason, we realized that it was going to be a problem. And at that stage, we had to take care of it right away.
Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad joining us here tonight. We really appreciate it. The Dynamo, two consecutive years, have made the playoffs. I still am disappointed because I think the Dynamo had a better team than Seattle, honestly.
Yeah, I'm disappointed too, and I think even more so is how it played out in the East. Currently, right now, had we, been able to get past Seattle, we'd have an opportunity if we could get past the West, but we'd host the MLS Cup final, which we've never done here in the city. And I think it's disappointing. You don't get a lot of opportunities in this game, in the sport, when you have a good team, and you got to take advantage of them. And unfortunately for us, I think we self-destructed in the series against Seattle.
Do you worry, and I'm not talking about you guys, the players and the competitive side, do you worry that maybe our bar, we're conditioned, maybe the fan base and everybody, that the bar is a little bit too low here? I mean, it was almost like everybody was celebrating right after the game. Hey, we made the playoffs two times in 2 years. And where I'm going, hey, let's suffer for a day before we start, I don't know.
Yeah,
am I off base on this?
Yeah, no, I think we were, I think it is an accomplishment for this group and for this club to get in there. But I also think now we're past that. I think this team now, the expectation is that we are a playoff team, and that we should fight for trophies. And I think that's where the disappointment came from our group is this was a very good group that fought through a lot of adversity. this year and got had three more points than the year before, which was, you know, deemed by everybody to be a very successful season. So I think we went in with a swagger and felt that, you know, we could get past a team that probably is our worst matchup in the entire Western Conference, but we still felt we could get past them. But when you take two red cards in two games, and both red cards are completely avoidable, you know, and they're self-inflicted, it's frustrating because I agree, you know, from our perspective and certainly from the players and the coaching staff and the management, it was a disappointing ending to what we'd hoped was going to be a great season, and probably in the end was probably just a good season. So that part was pretty frustrating.
So when you go back to last year, which was, 2023 was remarkable. Herrera was remarkable. I can't tell you how much enjoyment, and I'm just saying this from a personal standpoint, it was to call those games. I've told you this before. There was excitement. There was a star player. To watch this guy orchestrate his team was like, you know, watching. We could make all kinds of examples that would be comparisons. You get to the final against LAFC. The final, I think everybody walks away going, okay, if we can become a little bit better goal-scoring team, why can't we go to the MLS Cup next year? And that's where, to me, the bar was. So I know we can say, okay, we got more points this year, but so did everybody else. Was that disappointing? And is that where the bar was this year going in? Was it to win the Western Conference and get to the MLS Cup final?
Yeah, I think we set ourselves, you know, our first goal, and to be honest, this even goes back to Dominic Kinnear days, is the first goal is to make sure you qualify for the playoffs, period. And you've seen, you know, a team like Atlanta, who's now made a nice little run and stuff, and they're ninth, and they would probably, in the end, now that they've upset Miami, be happier with their season than we were, you know, who finished, I don't know what it was, 14, 15 points ahead of them. So, you know, from our standpoint, it was still about the playoffs and trying to advance as far as we could. And that's where I think the disappointment comes from. I do think the regular season is something to be proud of. It's still, you still have to qualify and you have to play well. And the part I think, you know, certainly Ben Olsen and the players to be proud of is that we have a distinct style now. We possess the ball. We advance it, up the field slowly, but because we're doing it under control. And it's a brand of soccer that we think is enjoyable to play, and we think it's enjoyable to watch. So that part of the season, we don't want to throw it away and throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak, but we're pretty happy with that. But ultimately, in the end, it's still about lifting trophies. And I thought Ben summed it up perfectly, saying, you know, a great season is when you lift a trophy, and we didn't do that this year. So, you know, can you look back and say it was a good season? Yeah, I think you can. But it's bitter the way we went out. I think all of us are terribly disappointed in the way we went out, because I think had we kept 11 players on the field, I think we had a pretty good opportunity to get past a really good Seattle side.
He's Dynamo General Manager Pat Onsa. By the way, kudos to you for taking the responsibility for, you know, really saying that, look, you hurt yourselves in these two games without any question, by some individual choices. So I think a lot of people connected with that, and you really – driving that home as, you know, hey, we handicapped ourselves as well. You mentioned the style now, and you won't have Hector Herrera, and he was such a fulcrum of this. He was the leader of this. How does this style change now? Will it remain the same? You want a sort of methodical build up to control games? Is that going to stay the same even without Hector?
I think, you know, it'll look slightly different, I think, next year. I mean, it depends on what players we can get over the line and what, you know, and the positions that we're targeting. But I think for us, we are still built to be a possession team. You know, we still have, whether it's Amin Bassi, Sebastian Kowalczyk, you know, Artur, Coco, I think we're always going to be a possession-based team. And I think we're good at it. I think we're comfortable at it. I think it suits our environment and our climate here. So we'll continue that. What that looks like remains to be seen. If Coco ends up playing as the eight and replacing Hector, he's a different profile than Hector is. He's a guy that will drive with the ball in that position and get out of tight areas by dribbling often or combining quickly. But he's not a guy that'll set a tempo that Hector did, where Hector would slow it down, sometimes speed it up. Had a good range of long range passing as well. So that will change. You know, depending who plays in that role, And then also, having said that, if that's where Coco plays, then we might be a little bit different in the way we attack. But then who replaces him in his position? You know, then Sebastian Kowalczyk, who likes to get in the box himself a little bit more than Coco does, you know, maybe can play the final pass. Or is it, do we go after another big player that can provide a final pass? Or is he a type of guy that goes in the box? So I think there's still a lot of question marks in what we'll look like next year. But generally speaking, we still want to keep the same structure and the same identity that we've developed over these last 2 years.
Yeah, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? I mean, you guys have established some beautiful things, a possession game, a great defending team. You know, where do you see the goals coming from? I know it has to be Ponce, but how do you get him more looks facing goal?
Yeah, I think we need to get a little bit more. We can't just rely on a forward. And Ponce, again, is not going to be the type of forward that you play the ball to his feet and you get out of his way and he goes and beats two players and smashes one in the top corner. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that still needs service. You know, he's still going to be able to provide him opportunities to score goals. We do think with a full year underneath him that he's going to have a very successful season next year, and a good off season for him as well. So we're excited about that piece. But in the end, we're going to have to get more from our you know, attacking midfielders, whether that's, you know, Amin, Kowalczyk, Coco, and also Ali Yu, and hopefully Quiñones and Ollie when they come back. So we still need some more. Now, whether that's bringing another player in that can provide that or not remains to be seen, but certainly what we're trying to do. I think if we upgrade our attack, then I think we can continue to be, you know, one of the stronger teams in the Western Conference and hopefully peak at the right time and not shoot ourselves in the foot in the playoffs and make a nice run at this thing.
Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad, we appreciate, by the way, Pat, thanks for all your coming on the show on short notice and really being so candid to the fan base. I appreciate it, and I know they do as well. Could there be a slight change in tactics where maybe you don't tuck in that guy on the right side quite as much and you play with an out-and-out winger? Are those things that are being considered and bannered around?
Yeah, I think there's talk about it. I think it'll depend on the personnel. I think there's different ways to look at it. And, you know, Ben Olsen, the head coach, and Asher Mendelsohn, our technical director, and I have spoken about it. I mean, again, this is Ben's decision, and the personnel that we bring in will help with that decision, I think, for him. But, you know, if we're going to play with that, then the way we like to build would be in a 3-2. In other words, three players in the back and two in the central midfield. And if we're going to use a out-and-out winger, that means we're going to have to find a defender that can slide into the bottom of the midfield and build up, you know, somebody essentially replacing Hector Herrera in build up, which that's a pretty tall ask for a defender to do. So I don't know if we have that guy in our roster, but is it someone we could, you know, find in our recruitment strategy in this window? Possibly. So we'll see. But I still think the core of our group, you know, we're bringing 9 of 11 guys back, you know, who started last year. I think obviously we'll see with Steve Clark in the goalkeeping position, but that's Andrew or Steve. But Hector, obviously losing Hector is going to be a big piece for us.
The future of Sebas, this is kind of an albatross because he really doesn't fit in Ben's system, yet he's here, he's a DP, he's big money. That has to be a bit of an anchor, right?
Yeah, it's certainly something we've got to solve and work on this this winter. Right now, he's currently a Houston Dynamo player, and we would expect if we can't find a solution that he's back in January, and then we have two deep up top. And then the question is, are we going to find a solution to try to get them both on the field at times? You know, Ponce and himself. That's Ben's decision and how he wants to do that. But the big one for us really is how do we move forward here that we're both parties I think are satisfied with an end result, whether that's keeping him here or moving him on, that remains to be seen.
Yeah, and by the way, for anybody listening, I didn't want that to come off as disrespectful to Sebas because we know he's a good goal scorer. But
his goals per minute played has been excellent. So like he's been a good pro and with our group and you know kept his head down and tried to work hard and hopefully we find a solution one way or the other.
Especially against DC United, right?
Yeah, exactly.
United doesn't want to see him. Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad. Pat, there's reports of Albert Release being in town, and he's going to play in some game at Maya Park here with Roger Espinosa and a bunch of guys. Has he inquired about coming back to the Dynamo? I had heard he was being looked at. Can you give us any insight into him?
A little bit. I mean, I don't want to go into too much detail, but we've been in constant contact with Albert. You know, he's someone that's made it clear that he would like to come back here. We would like to make it happen, but I think any player that we have or that's in our organization, the number one concern is his health and make sure that he's able to come back and play professional soccer at this level without risking anything to himself. So that's probably the first hurdle that we have to get clear is to make sure that he gets a clean bill of health before we could kind of take any more steps forward. But obviously he was is a great player and was obviously a huge star here and a guy that we admired and a wonderful human being as well. So we'll wait to see what kind of transpires over the next few months.
So, Pat, is it remain with the two DPs and look for under 20 youth players, youth DPs? Is that what I heard in the press conference?
So from our perspective, this for those of you that you know, this is kind of new for a lot of people. There's a different mechanism they're using this year. You have a choice as a club to go with the three DP model and three U22 initiative. Three of those players, or you can go with two designated players, four of the U22s, and then you also get an extra $2 million in GAM. We think in our roster and to be able to keep our core group together, we need the $2 million in GAM, and we think we've done relatively well with our U22 initiative guys, and all Ikeones and Aliu, although two of them unfortunately have been injured this year, but we like all three of those guys, so we feel pretty confident we can go find another one that would help us. So that's the model we're looking at, is the 2DP, four youth player slots and $2 million in GAM. So that, I think, gives us the best opportunity to maintain this core and keep moving forward and hopefully add one or two pieces that will make a difference for us next season.
Pat, there was big, big excitement, obviously, with Hector Herrero when he first came here and, of course, the 2023 season. There was a good energy around a star that big being on the team, and I don't think it's an argument. He's the biggest star the club's ever signed, right, based on his play in Europe and the amount of World Cups, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Are you going to miss that a little bit? I mean, is the club going to miss that? Do you think citywide we're going to miss that?
I think first and foremost what we'll miss is Hector the player. You know, forget his national team and, played for Mexico and he's played at Atletico Madrid, Pepsi Porto, Pachuca. I think the biggest thing we'll miss is Hector Herrera, the player. I mean, he helped, as you mentioned earlier in the call, he helped drive the way we play and gave us confidence to play that way in our league, which is a tough physical league, and to be able to say, you know what, no matter what happens, we're playing our game today, and we're going to play through high press, we're going to play through whatever's out there, and we're going to be confident in the way we play the game. So that's the piece we're going to miss, and that's my biggest concern, to make sure that we find somebody, whether it's in that position. Like I said, we could put Coco Carrasquilla in there, but we bring someone else that has that swagger, that ability to lift the guy's confidence on the field and let them perform at a different level than we've been able to perform at so far, and that's our goal. So whether that's a high-profile DP, whether that's just a DP, whether it's a TAM player, that remains to be seen. I think for us, that's our job right now in the offseason, is to go try to find players that can fit into those two positions and guys that we know will help make our club better.
So high-profile DP is not off the table?
No, I wouldn't say it's ever off the table, and I think we're very fortunate. Ted Siegel, our owner, has been clear if the right guy comes around that we think is a good fit, then we have the discussion about it. We have a budget that we're in, and we compete with. We're a good spending team in our league. We're not a low spending team. So for us is to make sure if we find the right fit that makes sense, we would go do it. But I think for us, the one thing I think we learned from the Hector experiment is there, as much as we thought it would probably have a bigger impact in terms of our fan base. And unfortunately it didn't. But what I would say is winning games certainly helps, and we plan on continuing to do that as we move forward.
Yeah, I mean, that to me, that'll be one of the most amazing seasons that guy played in 2023. I mean, Hector.
Yeah, he was outstanding. He was amazing.
This was one of the most, how do I even put this? This was one of the best values in sports in Houston for many, many years that was just kind of underground. And I wish it would have blossomed more. You know, if you ever were to get another player like Hector Herrera, would you demand that they learn English and do a little bit more English language media? Maybe you're not the right person.
I don't know.
No, I'm just saying because as much as he was doing on the field, I never felt like mainstream media really understood him, appreciated him. You know, because he's not a big time goal scorer and he's not Messi.
Yeah.
But all these subtle, amazing things that he would do as a player. It's like watching Caitlin Clark maybe in the WNBA. The vast array of skills that he brings to a game. And I just wondered why he didn't make an effort to ever learn English and even blow his brand out.
In fairness, he made an effort. He made an effort, and his English was getting better. But it's also knowing full of the struggles of learning another language. I'm a great example of that. I've tried so hard at Spanish, and I'm still just making tiny baby steps. It's for some people, I think learning a language is very difficult. And to be fair to Hector, he was getting better and better in the locker room. He could carry on at least a hello, how are you doing, and how's your family conversation. And by the time he left, it's hard to get in front of a camera and then speak in a different tongue. It's difficult. So,
Pat, I'm going to contest you on this. I learned Canadian. I learned Spanglish. and Hector could have said, "Hello, how are you? Come to a Dynamo game." Come on, he could have done that.
He could probably say that. He could probably say that.
If he could do it in the locker room, he could do it on Channel 11 or Channel Fox 26 or whatever.
It's difficult. I mean, the one thing, the good and the bad about Houston is the good is that if you bring up a player who doesn't speak English and speaks Spanish and comes to Houston, he's very comfortable. He can go get a haircut. He can go to the spa. You know, his wife can go to the spa. He can go to a restaurant. He can go to the supermarket, and he can ask questions in Spanish, and there's no problems.
Yeah.
You know, the bad side of that is that when he's out in public, he's not practicing English, and it becomes difficult at times to get these guys to switch over, and it's not easy. I have a little bit of sympathy just because I know my struggles with a second language, so maybe the wrong guy to ask.
Pat, you're a gem. Adios. Hasta luego. Thank you, Pat Onstad.
No problem. Thanks,
Pat. See you, buddy. Great thing from Pat. What a gem. Comes on all the time. Talks about everything. That's a conversation that I think for Dynamo fans, listening to their GM, answering these questions is great. We learned tonight that the DP is not off the table. A high-end DP. I mean, I would assume that's going to include a move from Sebas Ferreira and get him off the books, whether you have to eat some of his salary or what, but you would have to because he's not in the shop window. That's the problem with that. That's difficult. By the way, here's what Tata Martino said. Now, remember when I mentioned that he said it's our obligation to win the MLS Cup with the team we have? He said, quote, "When you are eliminated in the quarterfinals, the season cannot be considered a success." That's number one. Number two, Jordi Alba came out and said, "Well, this is really unfair. The winner of the East and the West should play for the championship. Jordi, that is not going to happen in your lifetime. That'll not happen in my lifetime. This is not Europe. This is playoff system. This is America." And you should have mentioned that before you got eliminated. Anyway, Messi, Inter Miami's out, and we're going to talk to a guy that called the game on the radio. Jason Longshore will be up next with Atlanta United. I do want to remind you, DanishInspirations.com for the best in modern contemporary furniture. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Great whiskey and beer offerings out there. They got all the great English pub food, Premier League games, NFL, you name it, they'll do it. Hugh O'Connor's Pub. Let's take a break, and the break is brought to you by the one and only Cactus Music.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. For those of you who are Dynamo fans, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Pat Onstad. We appreciate him coming on, the general manager of the Dynamo. It's going to be an interesting offseason. The other question is, can the Dynamo, you know, not go out of sight, out of mind now for 2 months? Are there things that they can do to sort of kind of stay in the news and keep momentum going? So that'll be another thing to keep an eye on. Usually gets pretty quiet until we get into February. But they will have a lot of choices and decisions to make, no question about it, and they're working on that, that's for sure. DanishInspirations.com, but I also want a big shout-out here to our sponsor, and that is our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. You get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident, maybe you work in a refinery, maybe you drive an 18-wheeler. You get in an accident. You need the best representing you. That's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Again, it's DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. I always talk about supporting the sponsors that support your talk radio. So just keep that in mind. All right, we got a few minutes here. He is the color analyst for Atlanta United. He's Jason Longshore. Jason, thank you for coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me on, as always.
All right, before you give me the tactical breakdown and the coaching mumbo-jumbo, I'm going to give you the reason why Atlanta United won against Inter Miami. You ready?
I'm ready.
Here it comes.
An animated Tata Martino motions to the officials. In the meantime, here comes Messi again into the 18. Messi saved by Guzan! And he covers.
What a save.
Plays it in. Suarez save made by Guzan! Here's Messi. Messi, tracked by William Barr. Able to shake him off. Messi's service. Header stayed by Guzan. Another big stop by Brad Guzan. How did it stay out?
Wow.
They play the corner short and then work it back. Lionel Messi. Able to swing this ball. Far post. There's Guzan again to deny at the far post.
All right. So how did Atlanta United get it done, Jason?
Well, Brad Guzan was a big part of it, huh?
You think?
He's been ridiculous, yeah, as of late. I mean, just since decision day, honestly. Like, he has been in such good form, and it's so good to see. You know, it wasn't that long ago, 2022, that he had an Achilles injury, and there were questions on if he would come back. You know, 23 was a decent year for him, not up to his usual standard, but 24 was really good in long stretches, but what he's done lately, 32 saves in the last five Atlanta United matches, including decision day. That's the most saves he's made in any five-match stretch of his career in MLS. It's crazy. And these aren't like catching shots from 30 yards out that are right at him. The save, I think it was the first clip you played, is the best save I've ever seen live, where he got down with his hand low, able to push it wide of the far post. Just incredible. And that's not even scratching the surface of everything that he does for this group.
So how many times do you think he robbed Leo Messi over these three games? I was going to say around four or five. Yeah, and Suarez. But just let's go to Messi. Was it four or five for you that he picked a couple of them out of the corner? And geez.
Yeah, there's a couple that are just ridiculous that he got to. And, you know, it's been so cool to see this for me, seeing this guy from day one with Atlanta United. And there are people who have questioned, you know, should he still be here? Should he still be the number one? It was a big topic coming into the season with Josh Cohen signing. I think Brad's answered every single one of those questions with this performance right now.
No question. Jason Longshore joining us, color analyst for Atlanta United, who were, by the way, a ninth seed. They knocked off Leo Messi. But you and I were talking last week. We felt this was going to be a tight game, and this was not going to be easy for Inter Miami.
The defending that is such an issue for Miami got so much worse with losing Yannick Bright and not having Sergio Busquets anywhere near 100%. Busquets is a liability. When he came into the match on the ball, he was still good, but not at his usual level. But they don't have anybody else who can defend in that midfield. And I think Atlanta exploited that. They scored 6 goals against Miami in these 3 games. Yeah. And Miami is such a weird top team. I think when we talk about the best teams in any league, any sport, you have to be above average defensively, typically. And, you know, you might not be the best. You've got to be very, very good. This Miami defensive group is not good, and they give you so much time, and they give you so much space, and Atlanta exploited it. They were able to absorb the pressure and just carve Miami open on the counter way too often.
They were a mess. Honestly, Atlanta could have, in my opinion, had 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just was a pretty remarkable evening. And that said, you know, you got to look at some of the players. The other 10 guys that were in front of Brad Guzan, they were all bought in. So does Rob Valentino get the job, you think? Or does he have to win the MLS Cup? What do you think? I mean, this is a guy that's been the interim coach before. You know, do you really judge it on this small little window, or do you judge it on the context of a big season? That's always interesting to me with MLS, right? Like, even Jordi Alba is confused. He wants the champions of each conference to play, you know, because there's this whole thing about body of work during the season and playoffs. So do you make a judgment on the coach simply because of what he did in the playoffs?
It's tough, and you don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. But when you look, I think, across the board with this time for Rob Valentino, when he took over in 21, I don't think he was angling for the job at that point. They were looking at Gonzalo Pineda. I believe there were others in the mix at that time as well, including Paulo Fonseca, who's at Milan now. He knew the situation then. I think this was different, and I think he wanted the job from the beginning. I think it was a struggle at times. You know, you lose under his watch or right before he got the job. You lose Yorgos Giakoumakis. You lose Thiago Almada a few games in. And you're missing 2 designated players trying to get results, and it was very difficult. Then you get Alexi Maranchuk into the mix after the Leagues Cup, and he's such a different player than Almada. There's such a period of time where you have to adjust. He has to adjust. Everybody's got to figure that out. And I think you've seen since Leagues Cup, and to take it further back than just what he's done in the playoffs, you go back to the first game after Leagues Cup was at the LA Galaxy, a loss. But since then, they've only lost 1 time on the road, and that was Game 1 of the series with Miami. They beat Miami on the road. They beat Orlando on the road. They drew in 1 penalties against Montreal on the road. They drew at Red Bull Arena. They drew at Philadelphia, places where historically they haven't been able to get results. They beat Charlotte in their building. This has been a team that on the road has done amazing things in this stretch. So if you want to go back to before the playoffs to talk about his resume, his CV, I think you have to give him a ton of credit for reshaping the way that this team plays with little time to do it, and it's been effective.
Jason, I got 1 minute for you. How do you feel they match up with Orlando this Sunday, November 24th, in the conference semifinals?
They've beaten Orlando twice this season. They won at Orlando on decision day, a game that was pretty even, especially in the second half. I think Orlando defensively, maybe not quite as much of a liability as Miami, but those center backs don't have a lot of pace. Jamal Tiare does. I'll be curious to see what changes Rob Valentino implements ahead of that. Is it still going to stick with the line of 5? Is he going to go with a 4-3-3 to try to get more pace up top around it? I think there are holes in Orlando's defensive group, but this is a really good attack. I think this is going to be a barn burner.
Atlanta-Orlando on Sunday, along with LA-Minnesota, and then on Saturday, prior to that, it's the Hudson River Derby, New York City FC and the Red Bulls, and then LAFC against Seattle. The likes of Columbus, Cincinnati, Inter-Miami, all biting the dust and are out. What a year it would be And there's no telling who's going to win this thing. Jason, thank you as always for coming on. I know you've been a busy man today. Everybody around the country wants you on after the big Atlanta United victory.
It's been a wild ride. I'm glad it keeps going to the Magic Kingdom.
I hope it keeps going. I hope it keeps going for you, Jason. Thank you so much tonight. All right.
Thank you.
So, by the way, SFA, I mentioned, won the Southland Conference. I did talk about that. All right. Gotham FC won Carlos Samaras once again to the semifinals. He was once ours at the Houston Dash. 3 days away from the U.S. and Jamaica. Again, we mentioned Dax McCarty for Atlanta United. So there we go. That does it. Tomorrow, a lot of conference and NCAA college soccer. Much more coming up. We will be back on Thursday. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Big thank you to Brian McDonald behind the glass. That does it for us tonight. We'll see you Thursday, 6 o'clock Central Time. I'm Glenn Davis.
ESPN 97.5.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.